We've been talking about the faithful home. Full, F-U-L-L. Faithful home. This is our third week. It doesn't matter if you're a home of one or if you're a home of 12. I've had to increase my number because some of you keep multiplying. And I used to say like a home of five, but now I have to say a home of 12. But, you know, my daughter said something to me the other day. I think it was her. She said, you know, eventually we're going to win this thing. Because the ungodly keep aborting. The godly keep reproducing. I feel a shift. And if you haven't watched the film that we put on the Facebook page on abortion, you need to. It is a fight that we need to continue to pray about and to win. Millions of Americans are going unprotected, and it's the job of the church to shed light on it. Amen? The faithful home. Your first ministry as a Christian is in your home. That's it. Your first ministry as a Christian. You know, you get born again, you're excited, you should be. You want to go out, you want to reach people, you should. But your first ministry as a Christian is in your home. And I went back and read a little bit in Titus, Brother Burge, about the instruction that Paul was giving in 1st and 2nd Timothy and in Titus. And the things he was telling Scott, he was instructing leadership. And he said, look, if you're going to walk in leadership, in godly leadership, first thing I want to see is fruit in your house. And that wasn't just restriction for the sake of restriction. That was for purpose. I don't know what you just did to me, sis, but I just pulled an echo. I sounded like one of the singers up here. Your first ministry is in your house. The last few weeks, we've been emphasizing that the principles of faith are for home. I loved John's title last week, Be a Christian in Your Home. I mean, how simple is that? We're so concerned about what we look like in the church or what we look like in the community, but are you being Christian in your home? And that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. There's a heart of Christianity, and there's a grace in Christianity that covers our mistakes. But we've got to have that heart of Christianity and practice the principles in our home. We talked the first week about the law of sowing and reaping. We talk about that law a lot when we're talking about prosperity. We talk about out in the world giving. Don't be mocked. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also. What happens when we apply that in our homes? It changes our harvest, doesn't it? I love what John taught last week. I won't reteach it, but he took us to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. He talked about us humbling ourselves and praying. He did it as in our homes and praying and asking God for strategic instruction for situations in our home life. It was so good. You'll just have to go back and listen to it online. So now every word I read from the scripture, I'm going, man, let me place that in my house. Let me apply that where I live. If I'm a home of one or home of 12, it doesn't matter. Take the word and apply it to home. So last night, I thought I knew where I was going. I had my notes done yesterday, and I was going to teach on the blessing, the power of the blessing, and God just totally changed it. He took me to Isaiah 61. So if you want to turn to Isaiah 61, that will be our text for the day. And you know I usually use about five or six verses of scripture, but pretty much Isaiah 61 is going to be it for today. I've always said this. I've always said that you're anointed to be. You know, when I'm dealing with a mom who's going through something with a child or a dad, or I'm dealing with a wife that's going through something with a mate or a husband that's going through something, I'll say, but you're anointed. Sunday, you are anointed to be Joe's wife. Now, you're newlyweds. You may not need that much anointing right now because, you know, you probably still get up and put your makeup on. But there are times... There are times in our marriages where we need the anointing of God. The anointing is a special touch from God that makes us able to do what we could not naturally do. Anybody ever needed to love? Never mind. I'll put me and Rusty in it. There are days that Rusty and I need the anointing in our marriage. If you're snowed in together for a week, you might need a strong anointing. We had a blast. I beat him at Rummy so bad last night, he needed the anointing of God to live with me. We roasted hot dogs in the fireplace when we didn't have electricity. We just had a great time. But seriously, there are times in our homes that we need the anointing. And I want you to know that that anointing is not just, not only for you to go out here and lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. It's not only for you to minister to people that you're dealing with at work. It is for your home. And I many times have said, I am anointed to be Wade's mom, or I am anointed to be Chelsea's mom. Even after they were grown, I needed wisdom that I didn't have. I needed supernatural insight that wasn't there in the natural, and I would have to pull a parent of those children. And now I can't tell you how many times I look at Tanya and I say, I'm anointed to be Tom and Bonnie's daughter. I know. And so our roles have kind of reversed. And y'all, we're going to be real open about this. And Mom's a real open book anyway. I know she doesn't mind. I have wonderful parents. They have sown, and it is time for their harvest from me. Nobody prepares you to parent your parents. Except the scripture. Honor your father and your mother. Seriously, right, Eric? There is an anointing on you to make the decisions that need to be made. You will not make any missteps, nor will any guilt or any other influence come across your decisions. They'll come from the inside. They'll come from me, says the Lord, and they will not be wrong. We are anointed to help our parents. Where's John? John, your mom and dad would really like for me to aim that anointing back there. As our parents age, they need us more. They need us more. And so we're anointed for that. You need to call on that. Instead of getting frustrated and getting drained and pulling from your own energy, pull from that anointing that he's put on the inside of you. And I've always stated that, but I was actually asleep, and Isaiah 61 kept coming to me, and I'm like, God, that's not what I'm teaching. Well, that's what we're teaching, because he wins. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me. Now, if this sounds familiar from the New Testament, you can find it in Luke chapter 4, because Jesus opens the scroll up in the temple and starts reading this. And he says it with such authority that the Pharisees are just astounded that he's saying these words in the way that he's saying them. And being the faith church that we are, we say this over ourselves because we are in Christ. And we believe that we're called to do the works of Christ because that's what he told us to do. And so when we read this, we read it as Christ being able to do these things through our lives. So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on. The Holy Spirit is on you. He's in you. This is Old Testament. He's in you because the Lord has anointed you. Now that makes a whole lot of people just start backpedaling right there. Well, that's why you're not living in it. Look, it has nothing to do with you are a vessel. It has nothing to do with your past. It has nothing to do with your natural ability. It has to do with the fact that he chose to anoint Jesus, and you are in Christ. You are the body of Christ. You know what the word Christ means? You're the body of the anointed one. You are the body of Christ, and he has anointed you. That word anointed, it literally means to smear or to paint with something. And in the Old Testament, they would anoint people with oil, depending on where you're from. Got to get my out-of-state friends in here, my Californians that have moved in. He has anointed you. And sometimes, y'all, when they would anoint the priest, they would make this special mixture just for that priest, and they would pour it from the top of his head, and it would run down his beard and onto his garments. Smeared him with it. He was marked with it. He was saturated with it. He has anointed you. Whatever it is you're handling in your home right now, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's children, whether it's with your mate, he has anointed you. What's he anointed you to do? To preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim, to show forth the good news. You're the proclaimer of the good news in your house. Not, I don't know what we're going to eat next week. You know, I look back and I had a privileged life. I'm not going to lie to you. We never went without. My dad was just a prosperous man. He came from poverty. His shirts were made from flour sacks. His mother was a beautiful seamstress. She made my mom's wedding dress, which was gorgeous. She would take the flour sacks, which I guess I'm looking for somebody older, and I hate to look at any one person. Okay, if you're old enough to remember flour being in sacks made of material, please raise your hand. Okay, now I can look. You knew I was going to go there anyway, didn't you? She would take that material from those flour bags, and that's what my dad had, the best Western shirts made out of flour sacks. John, you knew Granny. A woman could sew. She made us some stuff. Some of it we wore, some of it we didn't, but she made us some stuff. That's where he came from. But he had the principles of prosperity in him. And he was raised in a good, godly home. And he was taught right. And I think he was 30 when he bought the dealership. He was around 30 years old when he bought the Pontiac Buick GMC dealership in southern Arkansas. And he prospered from there. So I came from that, okay? We weren't lavished with crazy stuff. You know, we're not the Kardashians or anything. But we never feared for one. And the reason we didn't fear was not because of how much money Dad made. We didn't fear because we were taught about God. We were taught to sow and how to reap. We were taught to give and to receive. We were taught to trust God. We were taught that He was our source. So I was blessed. But I remember at times Dad setting us down at the kitchen table, and these would be his exact words: we need to tighten our belt. Now, you younger ones, I have to sit there and think on it to figure it out. But what it meant was, we're going to cut back a little bit. We have something we're wanting to do. There's something we need to do. He never said, he never put his family into fear. This is what we need to do. We're going to do it. And this is how it's going to come out. You are the good news in your home. You're the proclaimer of good news in your home. Not the proclaimer of fear. I went a long way to say that. But you're the proclaimer of good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Let's apply that in our homes. You got somebody brokenhearted in your family? You're anointed. You're anointed. The sovereign God has anointed you to heal the brokenhearted in your home. He will use you. The Holy Spirit will use you. When you bind up a wound, you stop the bleeding. You keep it from going further. If your wife has been hurt, gentlemen, and I hate to even say this gender-wise, because we are a very gender-specific church, by the way. We believe in genders. So now I can't even say women have been through this, because now men are getting more open about what. Sexual abuse in America is crazy. And when almost everyone that you know has experienced some form of sexual abuse, and people are getting married, you have got to be able to talk to your mate about what they've been through. Let me reverse that. You've got to let your mate talk to you about what they've been through, and you've got to listen. Because we've got marriages coming together with at least one party having been sexually abused. Now, I hate that, but we got to deal with this. And it needs to be healed, not swept under a rug, healed. God has anointed you. If your mate has been through any kind of abuse, God has anointed you to bind up the brokenhearted. That word brokenhearted means the burst. It literally means busted, burst, destroyed, and crushed. You know, Rusty and I were talking about some things from his childhood. Sunday we were talking about the stepmom issue, the abuse that took place. God has anointed me to heal that wound. Through another divorce, I've been through divorce. He's been through divorce. We can either go through another divorce or we can be anointed to bind up each other's wounds. Bring it into our homes. We got to take it home, folks. We got to bring it into our homes. He has anointed us to proclaim freedom for the captives. You got any kids in addiction? You got any kids in addiction? Talk to me, church. You're anointed to call them out of it. When you look up this word to proclaim freedom to the captives, it means, when you look it up in the Strong's, call them out by name to freedom. So right now in your prayer time, and your mate has addiction issues, or your children have addiction issues, or your parents have addiction issues, if your daddy's an alcoholic, you start calling them out by name to freedom. Father, I thank you that in your case, my father is free from the addiction of alcohol. Father, I thank you that my mate is free. Father, you give me strategic instruction on what I can do to help bring your healing power into their lives. I'll do anything that you ask me to do. And you start calling them free. Father, I thank you. You're calling them out by name to freedom. Father, I thank you that Gerald is free from addiction. Father, I thank you that whatever their name is, you're anointed to do it. You can talk about them. You can hate them. You can walk in unforgiveness towards them. But let me tell you what unforgiveness will do. Unforgiveness to your parents for their addictions or their sins will cause a generational curse to follow you in your family tree. I can't forgive them. I can't. No, you have to. It doesn't mean you feel like it. It means you choose it. If you've been sexually abused by a parent, if you're still in it, come see us. We'll get the authorities involved, and we'll get it taken care of. We'll get it stopped. That's important to get things stopped. But it's also important to get things healed. And so you say it. How do I forgive such a thing? You choose it. Father, I see in your word. I see in your word. I stop this right here. You've anointed me to be able to do the impossible. You've anointed me to be able to do what I cannot do in my flesh. And so at this moment, I am not going to be held captive, which is where we're going, captive to that sin. They are accountable to you for that sin, but I'm going free from it. He has anointed us to proclaim freedom to the captives, to call them out by name for freedom, and to release them from darkness. Literally means dungeon for the prisoners that are held captive. Whatever. Whatever that is, whatever that darkness is, whatever that deep darkness is. And for a lot of people, that's depression. Depression run in your family? You got any depression in your family? You're anointed to release them from that darkness. They're held prisoner. They don't know how to get out. They can't get out. But God has anointed you. And if that's through your prayers, man, when we sang that song a while ago, let incense arise, and some of you are going, what on earth? Why are we lighting candles here? What are we doing? The book of Revelation says that the angels have in their hands golden vials that are filled with incense or odors that are the prayers of the saints before the throne of God. Don't you give up on your family, on your home, on your people. It looks dark, but you are light. When has darkness ever been able to overcome light? You keep on keeping on. Keep those prayers, keep those incense. He has anointed you to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Don't talk about how bad the year is. We've all done it. I've done it. He has anointed you to be the light in darkness. He's anointed you not to declare the year of 2020 a disaster, not to declare 2020-21, whatever it's been so far. He has anointed us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's in reference to the year of Jubilee. That's found in Leviticus 25 in the Old Testament, the year of Jubilee. Even if they put themselves in the situation of debt, when the trumpet sounded on the day of Jubilee, the prisoners were set free. The debts were made right. Everything, every loan, every business deal was made in accordance with where the year of Jubilee would fall. And he says, we're the proclaimers. He's anointed us to be the proclaimers of freedom in our house, in our homes. Oh, I love that. He's anointed you to announce. The year of Jubilee was restoration. This is the year of restoration for your family. But there's a secret to it, and it's called proclaiming it. Proclaim it. You're anointed to proclaim and to announce the restoration and all the privilege that comes from being a freed man. You get to do that. He's anointed you to do it. And the day of vengeance of our God, that's talking about on his enemies. Now, Jesus does not repeat this in his quote of this in Luke 4. That's because the attack on God's enemy, Jesus is taking care of. That's his. The vengeance that he will take on the enemy, that's for him. But we're anointed to comfort, this is still verse 2, to comfort all who mourn. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do to help them. Stop saying that. You are anointed to comfort all who mourn. You know, we went through this when we lost our son. You know, Rusty didn't know what to do with me. Nobody knew what to do with me. Nobody knows what to do when people are mourning. But y'all, we have a world full of people in mourning. The church needs to figure it out. You're anointed to comfort. And sometimes that comfort, Anna, just comes from being. Just because you're a light, just be. God will give you the words if there needs to be words. But your very presence, your very presence carries the anointing of God. The apostles were so anointed that they could walk by a sick person laying on the sidewalk and their shadow would bring healing to them. Oh, but that, you are just as much the body of Christ as anybody recorded in the scripture other than Jesus himself. The good news is you are in him. So you can be a comfort to those. What are they mourning? It's not always death. Sometimes it's loss of dreams, loss of jobs, loss of divorce. There's mourning to divorce. It's a death. So you're anointed to comfort those who mourn and to provide for those who grieve. I'll tell you something about my husband. I was wounded when he got me. I was wounded. I had been through divorce. I was a single mom. I had lost a fiance in a car accident. I was hurt. I was hurt. I was trying to figure out who I was. My identity was all messed up. As women, a lot of times we put we throw our whole selves into our marriages, right? It becomes our identity. And Rusty had been through things. Being able to be someone that can stand and stay in a time of grief. It's a very past who have lost children and get together and meet. One of the biggest hurts that we suffer is the loss of friends because they don't want to be around you anymore. You're supposed to be over it in 60 days, folks. You go back to work. You don't even get as long after the loss of a child as you do after the birth of a child. I was back in the pulpit within weeks after Wade's funeral. We're anointed for those moments. When everybody else is walking out, we stay. We stay. And I thank God for that man right there. I'll feed you lunch today. Because you're anointed to provide for those who grieve. Provide what? What they need. What they need while they heal. While they heal. Staying power is a beautiful thing. And you're anointed to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. There's a time, you know, in the Old Testament when they were grieving or where they were going through a hard time that they would put on sackcloth and ashes. They would put on mourning clothes and they would literally throw ashes on themselves. I mean, it was an outward demonstration of an inward hurt, of an inward feeling. And he said that you are anointed to cast a crown on them in place of those ashes. That's beautiful. This anointing, that's why Jesus was so beautiful. Because he was so beautiful, he provided people what they needed, their deepest need. He did it. He gave people a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You're anointed to do that. He says, you're anointed to give them the oil of gladness instead of their mourning. Somebody in your house hurting, mourning, grieving, you're anointed to give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And to give them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Suicide is a bigger pandemic than COVID. We need to attack it in our homes. We need to attack that spirit of despair in our homes. Don't let fear in, let the anointing in. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him what you need to do. He'll give you insight. Don't be afraid to see it. When you deal with parents who have lost children to suicide, sometimes you're afraid to approach things because you don't want to see it. But when you're walking under the anointing of God and you believe that He's anointed you to deal with it, you won't be afraid of what you see. You'll deal with what you see. And that's what we need to do. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. All of these things we just read about, the grieving, the mourning, the despair, the darkness, the prisoner, the captive, the heartbroken, all of these have oak tree potential, and God has called you and anointed you to bring it out of them. You're His helper. You're His hands and feet on the earth. You're the one that can touch the hurting. You're the one that can speak those words of life into their situation. And He's anointed you to do it. I don't even know what to say beyond that, other than, God, help us bring this home. You young people, when you're looking at marriage, you need to be honest with your potential mates. Well, not just young people, older people too, if you're looking at marriage. Hey, this is what this person's been through. You need to be praying now. If you're serious about your relationship, you're marrying somebody that's got grief or heartbreak or abuse or addiction or those things in their life. You need to be praying now because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I love the Amplified out of this. Because He has anointed you and qualified you. Because see, we're not therapists. Some of you might, but most of us in here don't have an education for therapy. And quite frankly, if therapy worked, there'd be a whole lot of us in here better off. There's nothing like the anointing of God. Nothing like the wholeness that He can bring. And I look around this room, and I don't want to look at anybody in particular right now, but I am so thankful for mates that I've seen stick with people, helping them become whole. Thank you, Lord. Bless those people for each one of those things. I was going to read it to you Amplified, but I took so long on that one that I won't. You can change the family tree. We've talked about this many times. I don't care what your family tree looks like, where you came from, the anointing of God can change your family tree. And if you change, it forces change elsewhere. And you're not going to be perfect, and you're not going to be without mistake. But I'm telling you, if you have the heart of change, God will work with you. He wants to work with you. Generational curses, the Old Testament says the sins of the fathers can be passed down to 3 or 4 generations. But to those who love me, God says, the blessing will be to 1,000 generations. You can overcome the transgressions of your fathers. You don't have to carry down generational curses. You are a new. It doesn't matter what kind of tree you are. Now you're an oak, a planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness. And it can change. We have seen it change. One person changing, and it changing generations. We're getting to see those generations now, and that's a beautiful thing. When a generational curse hits your branch, it hits a branch that's connected to the vine. You have a new life flowing through you. My dad used to say this all the time. You've been regenerated. And if you live alone, if you're a home of one, this is not a disadvantage to you. You know, sometimes reaching your family and working on things in your family can be done easier from a distance than it can be when you're living in the middle of it. So take advantage of the time. Take advantage of those times. You are complete in Christ. You don't have to have a home of 2, 3, 4, 5, or 12 to be complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. And you still have a work to do. And so I want to make sure I say that, because I don't ever want people to think, I mean, the apostle plainly said it's better to stay single if you're going to be in ministry. Because you could focus more. Because if you are married, your home is your ministry. And that's a big point of the day. Your home is your ministry. And the anointings for home. And no matter who you are in the home, even if you're a child in the home, the anointing is still on you. We have a lot of kids around here whose parents are not born again, who come to church, who come to youth group, who come to regular church, whose parents are not born again. You're anointed to reach your parents. And you may not be the one that gets them saved. You may not be the one that, see, that the beauty of this is the weight of this rests on the anointing, not on you. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, right? So, I'm just a kid and my dad's an alcoholic, or I'm just a kid and my mom, or, you know. Don't discredit the power of the anointing in anyone. There is not an age in the spirit. There's a maturity, but there's not an age. And I read back in the Old Testament some of the kids that were like, I don't know, 8 when they were kings. God can use you. And he wants to use you in your home. So he's anointed you. He's qualified you. So don't disqualify yourself. When Jesus finished quoting Isaiah 61 in Luke 4, he closed the book and he gave it back to the minister. And he said some important words. It says, all the eyes of the synagogue were fastened on him. And Jesus began to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus said, that's me. I'm the one that's anointed to do all these things. And they all wondered about what he had said. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Isn't this just the carpenter's son? Isn't this just Mary's boy? How can he say he's anointed to do these things? How can Kirsten say she's anointed to do these things? How can Lisa say she's anointed to do these things? How can Gary say he's anointed to do these things? Isn't that just, well, was he just Joseph's son? Or was he God's son? Now you are the children of God. You are the children of God, the body of Christ, the body of the anointing. Be the body of Christ in your home. What do you need the anointing for? Believe for it and walk in it. I believe God's going to give you, as John said, strategic moments where you know there's something you just need to do. Maybe there's a moment where you just need to keep your mouth closed. Maybe there's a moment when you need to write something to someone in your family. Just be obedient and let the anointing do its work. We're turning a ship here. But ships were made to turn. And I believe we're going to see some changes in our homes this year. Amen. All right, you can stand. I'm excited. Next week, we'll spend some prayer time, if need be, up front, praying with you about specific areas in the home if you need that agreement. I already have the anointing oil ready, because the anointing oil represents the anointing. The oil doesn't do anything itself. I've got handkerchiefs ready that we can use. You can go back and study in the scripture how God would use cloth. He would take cloth that someone, who a believer, had worn, and He would place it on the sick or those that were afflicted or those that were possessed with evil spirits or demons, and they would be made whole. And so we'll have those available. If any of you want to pray over those, I'll try to have them up front this week. I'll try to lay them on the altars if y'all want to come by and pray over those. Then we'll send those home with anybody. Look, you can be really sneaky with this stuff. Handkerchiefs are amazing. You can put them in their pillowcase. You can put them under their sheets. We had a lady one time, this was years ago, whose husband was not born again. And she would, when she would do the laundry, she would take that handkerchief and she would put it in his back pocket. And what was something funny happened. I don't remember. Like he couldn't stand it. Like it was, the anointing was irritating him. Until one day, when he was born again, when he accepted Christ, and it didn't take long. There's things we can do, why aren't we doing them? When the anointing is available to each and every one of us to bring and proclaim freedom. Amen. Father, I thank you for the homes that are, thank you that you are giving us insight and wisdom, that your word places a courage on the inside of us to step out in faith and to quit just accepting things that have happened as that will be the way that they always are. But Father, love can be born out of your word. Love can be born for them on the inside of us. And Father, I thank you that the willing and the obedient, your scripture says, will eat the good of the land. They will see the results. And so, Father, we open ourselves up to you to hear your voice. Anything that you need for us to approach in our families, show us what we need to do. We'll be obedient to do it. And Father, I thank you freedom's going to come. We proclaim it. Your word promises it, and we receive it. And we'll give you the praise for it. It will be for your glory, as you said in Isaiah 61, your glory and your splendor for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.